Saga Egmont presents Kerry Tucker Learns to Live by Louise Voss, read by Shazia Nichols. 1. June 2020. She wouldn't have admitted it to anybody because it sounded weird, but Kerry loved her sorting frame. It looked so daunting when empty, but it was so satisfying to fill, slotting each piece of post into its rightful place with the speed of a skilled card dealer in a casino. She just wished it was as straightforward to sort out her own head. If only all the questions tormenting her could simply be popped into the correct answering slot, gathered up into the trolley, and then taken out on a round, leaving behind a clean and empty frame ready for the next day. Instant ordered catharsis. If only life were that simple. For the past 6 weeks, since her mother's funeral, lunchtimes were when she did her grieving. She would park the post van somewhere quiet and pretty on her rural round, stick in some earbuds, navigate in her music app to something choral and really loud, and whack it on at top volume. Then she'd open the doors at the back of the van and perch on the tail, unwrap a foil package of sandwiches, and take a huge bite of the top one. Grief never seemed to affect her appetite, more was the pity. Peanut butter and bread would stick to the roof of her mouth as tears rolled down her cheeks, and she allowed herself to fall deep into the distracting embrace of Elgar or Mozart or Vaughan Williams. Her sister, younger by 2 years, teased her for liking choral singing after being such a goth in her teens. Now that Beth, aged 41, was the singer in a local covers band, belting out play that funky music and the like at 60th birthday parties for drunken middle-aged men in golf sweaters, she seemed to look down her nose at Kerry's love of classical music even more. Kerry found this confusing, since Beth was also always having a go at her for not being cultured enough. Just because she didn't like reading or opera, Beth often made her feel like she couldn't win. Still, Beth wasn't there now. Kerry felt relieved that she had a job in which she could be alone, in beautiful countryside, with nobody judging or criticising. Nor was she in some grim office canteen making small talk with colleagues she didn't like. Fresh air, gorgeous views, loads of walking, peace and quiet. Plus, when she did see her colleagues for the morning sorting ritual, they were a kind bunch on the whole. They'd given up inviting her to nights out because she hardly ever came to anything, apart from the Christmas party, but they were easy enough company. The lunchtime weep had become a comforting daily routine. Although she would never use the words self-care, if she stopped to think about it, they would be appropriate. Far more wholesome than some of the other habits she was sorely tempted to edge into. Drinking too much, not going out, eating crap food and staying up all night playing computer games or binge-watching TV. It was getting easier though, she thought. She only cried once or twice a week now instead of every day. Plus, out of Mum's death was going to come something so momentous and so wonderful that Kerry knew she needed to be a grown-up to rise to the challenge. She would finally be moving into the big house. Funny that at the age of 43 she still had to remind herself that she was a grown-up, but the move would be equally nerve-wracking and exciting. Kerry had lived in the annex of her childhood home since her and Beth's dad died in 1993, when she had just turned 17 and Beth 15. It had been his dark room, a converted garage, and she did still love it, even though it was tiny and cramped. Besides, it had been worth putting up with because she had always known that one day she would move back into the big house. Now that day was almost here. Her mum had told her years ago that she would make sure you'll be taken care of, Kerry love, and not left with nothing when she died. That Beth was already sorted financially, so it was only fair Kerry should be allowed to stay in the house until she chose to sell up. Especially when she became.